and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
You know your life isn't going that well when you're kind of disappointed the rapture didn't happen. Is it just me? Just me?
Oh.
Damn.
You okay there, Skippy?
Still here. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Oh, Matt in Chicago gave me a heads up.
Oh?
He emailed me Saturday and said, Steph, the rapture can't happen today. Oprah hasn't aired her final episode.
It's true.
Doesn't she control the universe?
Yes,
a higher power said no.
He says no.
Like the rapture is going to happen before Oprah's last show.
Whatever.
What were we thinking?
It can't happen before the results show of American Idol.
Yeah. Hello. All right. Oh, by the way, thank you, everybody, do it. Long Beach Gay Pride. It was great. I was the Grand Marshal yesterday.
That's right.
Bill and JJ wrote me, actually, during the parade, said, Steph, we just waved and called out to you and said, hi, baby. All those people. It was those people. All those guys.
Yeah.
Oh,
I know who you are. Out of the tens of thousands of people that were there.
Everybody was very nice. I got the one weirdest heckle ever. Someone yelled, eat a sandwich.
Well,
I guess that was a skinny joke.
Yeah, you're a little thin.
I don't know what that was all about.
you could stand to eat a sandwich or two.
I was like, what? And then the good news is I had a car and not a float.
Right.
Because there's nothing like a grown woman having to stand on a parade float. You know, it just...
In red, white, and blue leather.
Yeah, you look like an idiot.
With a riding crop.
Yeah, yeah. No, I just wore jeans and a...
And a peace sign t-shirt,
yeah,
I saw.
Yeah, thank you.
Someone took a video of you and posted it up on your Facebook page.
Really?
Yeah.
That damn social media.
I know.
By the way, I do have some kind of, I don't know, cough something, and my voice is dropping an octave.
You sound fine.
What was happening there? Anyway, oh, but my friend Rob was like my security detail. He was sitting next to me,
mm-hmm.
and it was very confusing. Because people are like, oh, mama, and your boyfriend?
Yeah, huh?
Yeah, it was like, that was bad timing for being the Grand Marshal in Gay Pride. They were like, huh?
What?
I was like, no, he's just a friend. That would have been spectacularly bad timing. All right. Anyway, thank you very much, everyone. You know what? Here's the thing. It's like the audience we're getting at Sexy Liberal Show.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, holy crap, Seattle. You better hurry up and get your tickets. We just announced Seattle on Friday. October 1st, we were playing Seattle, and tickets are, I think we may be sold out this week, so go, get it.
Yeah.
Get it, Seattle.
They're going fast.
Go to sexyliberal.com. You can find out real ticket information on all the upcoming dates.
Yep.
Oh, but anyway, so listen, this is what happens, because the crowds, we were saying, Sexy Liberals, like, for smart people with really good taste in music,
mm-hmm.
and there was not really a heckler at Long Beach Gay Pride, but, you know, when you're driving by, and she was yelling stuff like she was a heckler, but it was really nice stuff, and she was really intelligent. And so I actually yelled back at her. I said, you suck at heckling. Because she was like, Mama, I love you. You're so well-spoken and eloquent, and you're really... It's like this nonsense.
Using
and I was like
using three-syllable
you.
Words.
Yes.
What's up with that?
Mama, thank you. You're so enlightening and entertaining, and you really have a... I was like, what?
You don't get words like that at the Glenn Beck's events.
No. You're just supposed to show us your... Yeah. That's what you're supposed to yell.
And Glenn Beck has...
Yeah, he has man boobs, so...
To
yeah,
show.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, listen, let's get to the good stuff, shall we? Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world. I don't know what that means. Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
You're going to have to take it from here, Eric Bollard. I don't think my voice is going to hold out for the rest of this hour. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
You know, you wrote a piece. I talk about this all the time. Have you ever? We share a brain, and you complete me. You know that. But you often say things that I think I'm the only one that I'm thinking that. I mean, Meet the Press just irritates the bejesus out of me. I keep thinking, oh, is it just because I'm biased that I think they're biased against Democrats and Republicans? But tell us, Media Matters actually did two studies. Tell us about that.
Yeah, and the reason I brought it up last week was because, you know, they did the Newt Gingrich interview the weekend before, right, where he talked about social engineering, the Paul Ryan plan. So that was a big
right.
deal. And every time someone makes big deal on the Sunday show, that clip gets played. So Meet the Press sort of hit the home run. And then this week they sort of followed it up. They had Paul Ryan in, and so going to be more Republican talking points and things like that. And my question you know, I was thinking this is an awful lot of Republicans considering the Democrats run, control the White House, the federal government, and the Senate.
Yep.
Gee, why are there so many, you know, Republicans on? And during the week, Betsy Fisher, who's the executive producer of Meet the Press, tweeted that, oh, people are complaining, but we've been right down the middle this year, same number of Republicans, same number of Democrats, you know, so, you know, the left doesn't know what it's talking about. Well, we do, because Media Matters did a study. And when George Bush was in the White House and Republicans controlled parts of Congress, the White House, and the federal government, Meet the Press was overwhelmingly Republican. And the argument was, well, Republicans control the White House. Of course we're going to have more Republicans on. Now a Democrat controls the White House, and Meet the Press says, well, we're 50-50. We're fair, so you can't argue with us. It just confirms this notion, particularly within the Beltway and the Beltway elite, Republicans are just much more newsworthy and taken way more seriously.
Well, right.
They're in the minority, but if you watch the Sunday morning shows, you would think they run the federal government.
Yeah. Right. Well, the most recent one, and you point out, is that, you know, when Rachel Maddow was talking about, you know, Obama kills Bin Laden, and they have all Bush administration officials on to see what they think about stuff. I mean, it does seem to be a theme.
That was just a sort of robotic response. Mm-hmm. Oh, war on terror? What do Republicans think? You know, they haven't been running the war on terror for 2 or 3 years, but gee, they must have really insightful commentary on this. So, of course, they go to Republicans. So, again, it's interesting. When a Republican is in the White House, there are a lot more Republicans on Meet the Press. When a Democrat's in the White House, don't blame us. We're inviting Republicans and Democrats 50-50. What could be more fair and better?
Well, I mean, just the Bin Laden story, you know, for validity, let's go to the people that didn't get him to see their spin. How
let's
it's really
the
their
people,
success.
Let's
yeah.
interview the people that failed for 7 years.
Yeah.
They must have real insight.
But I thought, you know, and we'll get into right-wing world in a second, but I thought, you know, beyond your studies, as you say anecdotally, after the 2006, which was a tsunami for Democrats, you talk about they had on John McCain and Joe Lieberman.
Yeah, the first
you know?
Day after the, the landslide Democratic victory, Meet the Press brilliantly decided not to have a Democrat on the show to talk about their landslide victory. Of course, Joe Lieberman had abandoned the Democratic Party that cycle and went on to endorse Republican in the next campaign. So, again, within the Beltway, what do Republicans think? Let's have Republicans on. They drive the news cycle. They're newsworthy. They're interesting. They're the stars. Democrats are just sort of on the fringes.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing. Oh, boy. You've heard the explosion over the president's Israel comments, of course, the hyperbole. Dick Morris, let's start with
you. To ask Israel to return to the 1967 border is literally to ask it to commit suicide. Either you believe that the Palestinians will drop all their arms, love Israel, stop wanting to take it over, and be peace-loving, or you believe that you're throwing Israel literally under the bus. This is the most dramatic departure of an American president from support of Israel since, in 1956, Dwight Eisenhower opposed Israel during the Suez War.
Actually, there was a more recent Republican president, wasn't there? Who was that? Oh, I know. It was George Bush, wasn't it? A fairly similar policy.
Oh, yeah. A lot of butt throwing last week, apparently.
Yeah, that was the talking point.
But it's interesting. I mean, to really... the specifics of the speech and the border debate is interesting. If you take a couple steps back, what really this really shows is there are important serious issues that ought to be addressed, like healthcare reform, like the economy, like peace in the Middle East, and you need serious people to discuss those to solve them. What we have with the right wing media and the sort of the Republican noise machine are people who are purposely unserious, and they make it impossible to have any kind of discussion. So Obama gives a speech where he essentially continues the policies of previous administrations, and within minutes, you know, the right-wing media explodes on talk radio and on Fox and on the Internet. You know, he hates the Jews. This is his final solution. This is a prominent Republican.
Pamela Geller. I was going to get to that.
He's throwing them under the bus. He hates Israel. It's just not serious. And for context, go read someone like Jeffrey Goldberg, sort of a classic neocon, was a absolute media cheerleader for the Iraq War. He takes this stuff seriously, and he's been writing since the speech basically what – is wrong with these people? I mean, they have no understanding of history. This is not that big a deal, and they're just trying to create confusion and hatred.
Well, Eric,
and this is a serious issue.
And
we can't solve this. We can't with these idiots. Raving.
And once again, you know, the story is not that Pam Gelder is crazy, which everyone knows. It's that she's given mainstream media time on CNN and others. I mean,
last summer that idiotic, Ground Zero Moss debate.
Yeah.
Pam Gelder was on every major news outlet. She is now saying that Obama wants to exterminate the Jewish people from the face of the earth.
I'll give you the exact. She said Obama was dooming Israel to Auschwitz borders, and this is Obama's final solution.
Yeah.
He said the made in USA president proved today yet again how carefully he listened and committed to the Islamic Jew hatred taught to him in his Quranic classes while growing up in Muslim in Indonesia. His call to return to the 67 borders, a return to Auschwitz borders, is a call to jihad. It will incite and inflame the Muslim street. His foreign policy mimics that of a suicide bomber.
Yes.
Wow. Hyperbole much?
I mean, if any news organization ever takes this bigot seriously again, it's a crime. So that's why we point this stuff out. Not because she's crazy. Everyone knows she's crazy, but she's taken seriously.
Yes. And you know who's an accomplice?
In the Washington Post or whatever.
Yeah, you know who's an accomplice?
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. I had to debate her on Joy Behar.
Oh,
did you like to debate Pam? Sure. What? Why am I participating in this? All right.
And the freak out over the Obama speech, I mean, we all, you know, people who watch this and Media Matters and you and other people know they were going to freak out. They knew they were going to hate it. It's utterly predictable.
Yeah.
But the hysteria never fails to shock.
Yep, I know.
And so once again, last week, I was left sort of shaking my head thinking these people are not sane.
I'm surprised your brain. I'm surprised your brain matter is even in one place from how much you must shake your head. Eric Boulder,
there's nothing wrong with having a debate. You can have a debate, and he doesn't have to. Obama's not right about everything, but this is not a debate. This is just freakish behavior.
Yep. Eric Boulder, please remain in the sidecar, sir. 18 minutes after the hour, right back with the rest of Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
I said, are you going to be my girl?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. Such a special time in any girl's life. When you first learned to blind copy, it was like magic this weekend.
ACC.
David Bender taught me how. When was it invented?
About 10 years ago.
Yes. Sure.
Over 10 years ago.
Yeah,
probably.
I'm having a party. I kind of figured out how to do the thing with the thing. Okay, who knew? 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Eric Boulder rejoins us for Right Wing World. Oh, Sean Hannity on Fox News on the Israel speech.
And less than 24 hours after some say that President Barack Obama virtually spat in the face of the State of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of America's closest ally in the Middle East, arrived at the White House. Now, tensions ran high as the two leaders came face to face for the first time since the president shocked the world yesterday calling on Israel to return to its pre-1967 borders.
Don't they know that we mock them for some say, Eric?
Some say the least of it. Spat in the face of Israel.
Right.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Some say, some in the Fox hallway say, what he means.
Yeah. It was, again, going back to that story from last week, I mean, it was just amazing. Because, again, you know they're going to hate the speech and they know they're going to, quote, criticize it. But the way they just go from 0 to 100. And, you know, that's interesting. I mean, there's a big New York Magazine article this week on Roger Ailes, a great, great article everyone should read. And it does sort of touch upon the fact that, you know, Fox wanted to become the opposition party. So they were going to take over the RNC, and they basically have in terms of kingmaking. But as the article points out, they're so insane, they are basically making it impossible for Republicans to retake the White House.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is all part of it. I mean, what kind of serious person goes around talking about how a speech that Obama gave that continued the Bush policies was the equivalent of spitting in Israel's face? I mean, it's just...
Yeah.
They've created their own demise.
At least Pam Gelder was the only one to engage in Holocaust imagery. Certainly not Glenn Beck on Fox.
The Jews are in real trouble. If you look at the words of Hamas and Hezbollah and all of those guys, they're exactly the same as Hitler. The Middle East is on
ding,
fire
ding, ding.
And they're surrounding Israel. How do you feel about Jews? Are you willing to put one and hide one behind a wall in your house? Because people should have had that conversation in 1933. I think we're headed down that same path in the Middle East.
Mm. Boy, good news for contractors, Eric, as a lot of us are going to need to build walls, apparently, to hide Jews behind.
The good news, Glenn's going to go be in Israel this summer.
Yeah.
Yes.
For his Glenn Beck pep rally. Mm-hmm. And you can go for $4,500. So you can book your trips now.
Oh, boy. All right. Bill O'Reilly. Oh, I love it when Bill O'Reilly comments on a sex scandal, don't you?
You can count on a number of women trying to exploit the Arnold Schwarzenegger scandal. There's no surprise. I think you're going to see a whole bunch of women come forth with attorneys, and they want money. But why, you know, outside of money, is there any other reason for these ladies to step up?
Wow. Does he just not know that you and I are going to chuckle over Bill O'Reilly talking about women coming forward with embarrassing?
Asking for money?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
And,
we'll
of
just...
course, that hasn't happened, you know.
Right.
Exactly.
No other women coming forward.
You know what, Eric? That's too easy for professionals like you and I. We're just going to leave that there and move on. Rush Limbaugh.
Time Magazine, in a comfortable office, Bible placed firmly atop his lap, the 89-year-old Harold Camping is preaching with utter certainty about the end of the world, May 21st, 2011, tomorrow. That's the day of judgment. Now, I saw this. I said, this is a dead ringer for the global warming movement. This is exactly how these people are portraying it. End of the world, and we're destroying the planet.
Oh, he's icy.
Sounds a lot like the global warming warnings that we've gotten over the last 20 years.
I see. So he's not a crazy religious right wacko. He's obviously a global warming leftist alarmist.
Right, and apparently the rapture was also based on decades of science as well, like the global warming science.
Sure. All right, let's finish with Jonathan Honig. Fox News.
It's about blaming producers. This is a Salem witch hunt for people who actually work for a living
companies?
I don't know, pay their taxes, unlike some elected officials on Capitol Hill. I mean, the Democrats always trot out big oil. It's a convenient scapegoat, and it's completely without merit. I mean, prices are based on supply and demand. Gary alluded to, and this is the populist, you know, unsolicited scapegoating of people who actually produce for our economy, unlike the green energy that the Democrats want to spend your tax dollars on.
Wow, that was a lot of hot air injected into the universe right there.
Wasn't it General Electric that we learned that doesn't pay taxes?
Yes. Wow, the poor oil companies,
It's speculation, It's not supply and demand, as we've shown over and over again here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you. All right, Eric Bollert, once again, a delight.
Talk to you soon.
We'll talk to you next week. All right, there he goes.
I don't think he knew what to do with that.
Sometimes he and I just get tired. Yeah. Which is like, you know what, that speaks for itself. We're not even going to... It's too tiring. All right, Rude Pundit apparently has tweeted from...
Heaven.
Yes.
He's been raptured.
Yeah, he doesn't know what happened to the rest of us losers, but we will be apparently interviewing him from heaven.
Yes. This ought to be fun.
Yes. All right.
Cue the
heavenly choir.
The long-distance bill is going to be murder.
Oh, boy. We will talk. Do we have an ISDN? No?
No.
To heaven? No?
No.
All right. 29 minutes after the hour.
AT&T couldn't put one
Glenn
in time.
Glenn Beck's using them all.
Yeah.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Actually, I thought it was very well crafted. The perfect combination of dirty and smart. Stephanie Miller was really quite elegant.
Friggin' A. Yep. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Hey, Congressman Alan former Congressman Alan Grayson coming up on the big show today. Very exciting. And, of course, Mondays with Edie McClure.
Yep.
This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. The promo code again. Stephanie. All right, just want to see if I can catch you off guard. All right, time to get rude because it's Monday. Yeah.
It's Lee Poppet, the Rude Pundit. Pundit.
Oh, here he is, calling in from heaven. That's a clear line. Hello,
good
Rude Pundit.
Good morning. Good. Yes. It's, you know, it's surprisingly empty up here. Where the hell is everyone?
Yes, I know.
Jesus just handed me a day-old muffin for breakfast and said, I don't do much cooking for the two of us.
Oh, boy. Sorry. I'm extra phlegmy this morning. Yeah, you, well, this is always my favorite column of yours is when you get a, what is it? What do you call them? The super duper prayer missives from the
super duper prayer team from the Family Research Council.
Yeah, with Tony Perkins.
Yeah.
You
not the psycho, not the psycho guy.
You receive. Where's my air raid siren? You receive the following urgent message. FRC President Tony Perkins has long warned the homosexual agenda and religious liberty cannot coexist. Now homosexual activists are proving his axiom by their persecution of Chick-fil-A restaurant. No.
Chick-fil-A.
What I don't know. I've never had one.
Really?
Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A.
She said Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A. Whatever.
That's awesome.
So his main concern is that you pray for the chicken people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because, you see, they're being persecuted because Chick-fil-A has sponsored events, has contributed money to sponsor events for groups that are anti-gay rights.
Yeah.
And so there are some groups on campuses that think that Chick-fil-A maybe shouldn't be there since it clearly violates anti-discrimination rules of the campus.
Yeah, well, and you say, you say they obviously support the anti-gay cause. You say, imagine people not wanting their tax dollars at a public university being used to support a business that gives to groups that discriminate against people. How insane.
Yeah. Why would we want that? You know, my favorite is that there's actually a follow-up in the next week. There's a correction. Last week, I requested prayer for Chick-fil-A, which is experiencing undeserved persecution. They didn't mean to say that entire colleges were against them, just organizations. So there was a correction to the Chick-fil-A prayer. So that we all prayed wrong.
Oh, damn it.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah.
You wasted all that good praying.
I know.
I love the way you put it. Now they're coming for our delicious peanut oil fried chicken breast sandwiches with the buttered buns and delicious tangy limp pickles on them and our waffle fries. That's too far, man. That's too far. Time for a line in the crispy coating.
But you know what? Their sandwiches are really damn tasty.
They really
sound
are.
Disgusting.
Yeah. No, they're really good.
All right.
I grew up on them. If you're from the South, you grew up on them.
Sound healthy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but incredibly, incredibly anti-gay.
Yeah, they are.
You feel anti-gay when you're eating the sandwiches.
Right up to the limp pickle. All right.
Two of them. You get two of them per sandwich.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So you also had some thoughts about my good friend Ben Stein, my former sparring partner on Larry King. Yeah. What is his deal? That is so, just so throwback. His defense of accused rapist, the guy from the IMF. He wrote, if he's such a womanizer and violent guy with women, why didn't he ever get charged until now? What? What kind of legal argument is that?
Yeah, I can think of lots of crimes that I've committed that I've never been charged with. I think we all can.
Yeah, I know. That's such a throwback.
And then just that line, you know, if he's such a womanizer and violent guy, I'm like, haven't you ever, paid attention to the world? We hear the same story all the time about the guy who finally crosses a line and gets accused of something, and people are like, oh, yeah, everybody knew that, this is the way he treated women all the time.
Yeah. Now, I think, and this is saying a lot, one of my favorite lines in a Rude Pundit column ever.
Yeah.
But if turds had legs, they'd be called Gingriches. Because Newt is simply one of the most vile politicians. No, one of the most vile Americans of the last half century. He is a bloated reminder of the depravity inflicted on the nation during the Clinton administration. Yeah, it's like when you see him again, don't you go, oh, no, he's just as nasty and horrible as I remember him being.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's sort of been able to cultivate this image because as just a commentator, he didn't have to be responsible to anybody or care about any votes. And now everybody has to look again at his doughy face and go, oh, crap, I remember this guy. Oh, come on. No.
Is this, and that's also saying a lot, but is this the biggest flameout? I mean, I don't even know that you and I could have predicted that he would have started this badly.
Well, How often can you contradict yourself before you just your head just explodes?
Right.
And how often can you be caught? I mean, how many people have just reamed him in the last week?
Yeah.
Bill Bennett just destroyed him on the air. Rush Limbaugh destroyed him. People that used to fluff this guy regularly, just because he made one remark saying, you know, that Paul Ryan budget thing, really, it's too far. And then because he actually said whoa there for a minute to the radical right wing of the Republican Party, everybody just went, you know.
Yeah. It's entertaining, I have to say, and your sign-off. As Gingrich flames out, as anyone who paid attention during the 90s knew he would, as he makes barely-coded racist statements, as he pisses off members of the cult of Paul Ryan and then offers to them, we can all sit back and watch the hubristic Hindenburg burn and say, oh, the inhumanity. How much longer do you give it, the Gingrich campaign?
Oh, well, he's going to be funded for until at least Iowa.
It's going to go on for a long time.
You think so?
Yeah, off of pure ego.
I love go ahead.
I love that we all were despairing that we wouldn't have material after Donald Trump dropped out, and it's like no, somebody's stepping up.
Remember after Bush, like, what are you guys going to talk about now on the left? Who are you going to make fun of now?
Oh, there's plenty of people.
Don't worry.
It's a buffet.
You guys provide.
Yeah. And that Tiffany's bill puts him out of reach of normal people. What was it, $700,000 or something like that?
Yeah, he had a $500,000 line of credit at Tiffany's, and that he often owed that much to Tiffany's. So,
yeah, it's a Kobe account. It's a Kobe Bryant account.
Yeah. Well,
that other woman. Here's a ring.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's worked his way through the Civil War and World War II in his novels, so I guess, you know, every time there's a new Tiffany's bill, he's got to figure out another war to fictionalize.
Yeah. No, I love there was a story in the LA Times this weekend about one analyst said he still has tremendous name recognition. Well, yeah, in that most people think he's a hole. Yes, we know who he is.
And he's just, I mean, how do you not associate the name Newt Gingrich without thinking scumbag?
Yeah.
He's everything that everybody hates about politicians. He made money on being a politician. He screwed over wives and his family for interns and staff members. Not interns, sorry, staff members.
Mm-hmm.
How sleazy does a guy have to be before he's too sleazy to run for the Republican nomination?
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, and the other thing is you talk about, you mentioned the Paul Ryan plan. So there he is on Meet the Press yesterday saying, you know, leaving the door open, maybe he's going to run, and you're like, based on what? The universally, hugely negative reaction to your budget plan?
I think at this point, you know, everybody's just thinking down the road, like, you know, Obama's going to win again, and somebody's going to step up at some point and say, all right, I'm next. And what's going to happen is when Paul Ryan's plan doesn't pass and something happens with them that hurts Medicare and hurts the people that are covered by Medicare, they can sit there and go, see, told you so, even though it'll be Republicans that will have undone anything.
Yeah, yeah. I have to say, maybe my personal favorite story is Mitch Daniels being out, which again makes this more a story about who's not running on the Republican side than who is.
Yeah.
But number two, his family values. Oh, what would you call that, Chris? A situation, a thing.
Yeah, it's a little unique, let's just say.
you mean that his wife abandoned him for a while?
Yes, and their four children, and married another guy.
Which, if you've ever lived in Indiana, you can totally understand. Oh, my God, I can't stand it here anymore.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And I would just like to say, I've lived in Indiana.
I've only driven through.
No, I don't. You know what? I refuse to drive through Indiana. I feel I'll be sucked into a vortex of tedium, flatness, and gray land.
Yeah, I don't know if it was me to some particular hilarity in his statement. He said, because of course, I love my country, I love my family more.
Sure.
Right, right.
Meaning, yeah. He said, on matters affecting us all, our family constitution gives a veto to the Women's Caucus, and there is no override provision, which is just particularly hilarious. In that, for instance, if my wife decides she gets to leave for several years, then that's fine.
Mm. Yeah. I guess he was told, if you run, I'm taking the kids this time.
I know. I love how they write it in this news stories. Given his rather unique marital history. Yes, that is unique.
And the worst part, I mean, is that you know, he wouldn't have to worry about that, I don't think, in a general election, because the Obama campaign didn't really go personal. But in the Republican primaries, when he's up against a Michelle Bachmann or Newt Gingrich, oh, they're going to just go for the scrotum as quickly as possible.
she's going to go, my husband might be gay, but at least he stays with me. Oh, I'm sorry that I've lurched out.
Yes.
We don't know that. We just know he buys her pantsuits. That's all we know.
Yes,
he does. And, does the shopping for her.
But that would have been great, though, to see Gingrich and Daniels having to debate each other, and just these two, again, two guys with these sleazy pasts, and what in the world are they going to actually? Let's see them talk about the culture wars.
Mm. Is it coincidental that Tim Pawlenty's name actually sounds like yawn? But he's launching today, and I can
Pawlenty is. There's something so skeevy about Pawlenty because he's got those. What is it about these upper Midwestern Republicans like Scott Walker and Tim Pawlenty that have these kind of inbred half-mast eyes that just stare at you like they're looking out of a child molester's van?
Oh my God, that's awesome, rude.
That's Stephanie Miller Show has no actual information on that. We're just saying.
I'll just point out, and this is actually true. In 2008. Tim Pawlenty pardoned a convicted child molester because the child molester married his victim when she was old enough to consent.
Oh, well then, that makes it better. Mm.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. Scott Walker, I've noticed, what's with the lack of any sort of facial expression at all? He has that sort of Steve Ducey-esque, like someone just hit him with a plank right before he goes on television.
Oh, it's just kind of soulless Jeffrey Dahmer, I'm going to have sex with your disembodied head look.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I think note, we've gone as low as we can go. RudePundit.blogspot.com. Talk to you next week, honey.
Bye.
Also,
spoke to him as if he were a website, not a person.
Yes.
All right. Wow, that got a little ruder than usual.
Yeah.
All right, 46. You know what? There's nowhere else to go after disembodied
heads. I don't think so.
46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Bad girl, you're such a dirty bad girl. Uh-huh. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, Sue in Rockville, Maryland. Good morning, baby.
Hey, good morning, you all. I hope you feel better.
Thank
Steph.
You. A little froggy this morning. Apologize.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yes.
You know, as much as I love to mock Glenn Beck because he's a total moron, this talking about my parents survived the Lodz ghetto by hiding in a closet for 3 days.
Yeah.
And then they were liberated. So I take great offense at this. I know he knows as much about Judaism, Jewish history, and Israeli history as I do about funny Mormon underwear at Seton's.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
No, I mean, you're right. It's just, it is amazing how, like, freely they throw around these, you know, the Holocaust analogies. It's really, I mean, Pam Geller, you can, like I say, I mean, the fact that she even gets invited on mainstream media is ridiculous. But, you know, Glenn Beck has his own show, at least for the foreseeable future.
I lost 90% of my family, and except for my parents who had an aunt here, my entire family are Israelis, and they want peace, and they know what needs to happen, and they're not fans of Netanyahu, they're not fans of expanded settlements, they want security, they want peace, they want to live their lives.
My friend from Israel as well feels the same way.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah. And
so
you know what you can tell them from me. Ani otevet otach.
Oh, boy.
Exactly.
Yeah, gamani motik. All right, bye-bye.
The only words of Hebrew that you know.
And no, I know others that you can't say on the radio.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Stephanie, we got a letter from Chris in Yankton. It's He says,
why do I get the feeling this is not something I'm going to enjoy and you are going to foist upon me anyway without any warning? Yes.
He says, is Stephanie actually eating corn on the cob on Ustream?
Uh-huh.
Isn't that a bit impractical at work? What's next? Making s'mores in the studio? Eating cotton candy or peanut brittle while on the air? Snarfing down great big wedges of dripping watermelon in studio?
Leftovers are what my leftovers are.
It's really not practical for a radio show to be eating corn on the cob. What?
I had Elvira over for a barbecue. That's why I have leftovers.
Okay.
She has the greatest stories ever, by the way. We have to book her on the show again. Well, we were laughing about that. You remember, I got, my doctor was recommended by Elvira,
right?
Which was a bad idea because she's the undead. So how good could he be? He couldn't possibly kill her, and he turned out not to be very good.
Well, she moved far away from what I understand, so that's why we can't have her in.
Well, she's going to come on, but anyway, can I just say she has the funniest doctor recommendation story ever? Get some Pee Wee Herman clips ready. So you know she's very good friends with Pee Wee Herman.
Yes, so she introduced me to him at your Christmas party. That was really surreal.
She went to a therapist recommended by Pee Wee Herman. Which right there, you would think, perhaps not wise.
Well, he's out of character. He's a very normal, unassuming guy, Paul Rubens.
But no, wait, the story gets better. And she goes, this woman was just so wacky. And she said, and then so I'm in one session, and I'm talking about my personal stuff, and she's like sort of giggling, and I'm thinking, what is wrong with this woman? And Pee-wee jumps up from behind the couch.
I'm trying to use the phone!
This woman let Pee-wee hide in the therapy room and jump out and surprise Elvira. I'm like, that is so unethical.
That is really unethical.
It's like, what? And then she said, she asked Pee-wee a few weeks later, whatever happened to that woman? And he goes, oh, she left therapy. She's a flight attendant now. I guess the bottom line is, she was no help. She was no help.
Oh, dear. Okay.
I just love that story.
Okay. Mm. Oh, great.
All right. Let's go to...
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
I missed it. Had I still been in the car, I would have heard the story.
You wish that you win Mr. Rack is what you're thinking. You're thinking, when is she coming in again?
Elvira, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mary in Connecticut, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, good morning, Stephanie.
Hi, Mary.
One thing that a lot of people are overlooking about the illustrious Newt Gingrich career is that when he was snuffed on Air Force One, and he got his, he shut down the federal government because Clinton didn't want to let him.
Because he's a big whiny baby, yes. Uh-huh.
That directly led to Monica Lewinsky coming into the White House because the government had shut
down. That's right.
The White House had to staff up with interns. And
yep.
Monica Lewinsky walked through the door.
Yep, yep. Those late night pizza parties.
Indeed, indeed. Okay.
All right. Thank you, honey. All right. Appreciate it. Let's go to Michael in L.A. on the canceled rapture. Hello, Michael.
Yeah. Oh, yo. WTF? Why am I still here?
Yeah. What?
Breaking news.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And, yes.
Oh,
yes.
Can
sir.
You put your finger on your box near the drama thing?
Oh, sure. Uh huh.
Okay. Sure. Mm. Wow.
For L.A., the rapture has been rescheduled for July 15th when they closed the 405 freeway through the Sepulveda Pass for 2.5 days.
Yeah.
No way.
Yes, they are.
That's where the time space continuum comes together. Sepulveda and the 405.
That's going to send a lot of people through Runyon Canyon and just.
Runyon! All right, Michael, thank you for that breaking news.
LA story where they're driving to people's backyards.
Yeah, it's going to be.
Michael's our official LA
and
traffic reporter.
And the Coenga Pass, I mean,
forget
all
about
the mountain
it.
Passes are going to be.
I'm staying in the valley.
Jim, we realized somebody sussed out earlier why the rapture got canceled, because Oprah is having her last show on Wednesday, for God's sakes.
Oprah,
the higher powers.
God.
Yes.
Absolutely.
On a serious note about that, a lot of people spent their life savings because they were told that the rapture
was
a Christian radio station.
And gave it to the Christian radio stations.
So that's what it was all about.
Hmm. And
you could have seen that
so
coming.
So we aren't going to get any of those signals that I called and left a message about on Friday?
No, I guess not.
Hmm. It's weird they didn't get back to us. Wonder if they knew something.
They're flush with cash now, though. You know that.
I thought it was a perfectly reasonable business request I made.
Sure.
Yeah. I said, I understand. You'll have several signals available on Monday.
And we can explain why the rapture didn't happen.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Oh, well.
Harold Camping said it was a bit of a clerical error.
Of course. Yeah. Sure. Just like the last time.
You know what? Oprah probably uses a paper calendar. That's what happened. She and God got things, cattywampus. He's like, what? When? Oh, so bad for me. You meant last Wednesday.
That's why I created the iPad, you idiot.
Oh, wait, that wasn't me.
Me, damn it.
Me, damn it. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Six minutes after the hour, former Congressman Alan Grayson coming up in less than half an hour. Bad breaking news out of Missouri. More storms are coming in right now after 89 so far dead in this...
In Joplin, Missouri.
Joplin, Missouri, yeah.
Yeah, they say 75% of the town's buildings are gone.
Wow.
Yowza. All right.
So we'll keep an eye on that.
Yeah. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Like Julie in Seattle did. Oh, she sent a last dispatch before the end. This was on Friday. We were all expecting to be raptured. Mm. Jim, am I the only one whose life is going so badly? I was a little disappointed. I was like, oh, still here. Damn.
I don't think you would have taken that golden escalator up to...
No.
No. Something tells me.
I was hoping. I need something to look forward to.
Purgatory.
Yeah. That's right. Catholics go to purgatory.
Yeah, I ate too much meat on Friday or something.
So it'd be purgatory then.
Hey!
Hey! Flarg! All right. Staff, what a sad irony that you finally have your wildly successful They Like Me, They Really Like Me hit sexy liberal tour comedy show. There you are, back on top, perched on the edge of taking your booze and dope back to Broadway after all the empty decades of wanton loserdom.
Stephanie Miller.
That's true.
That rummed you right out of Hollywood. So you come crawling back to Broadway. Well, Broadway doesn't go for booze and dope. Now you get out of my way, because I've got a man waiting for me.
That was a while ago. And Jesus picks this weekend to come back, get his friends, and annihilate sinners. Julie. Well, see, now the sexy liberal tour can go on. Mm-hmm. Which is going gangbusters, I'm told. Our booking director, Roland, writes, Steph, since doing the announcement for Seattle on Friday, we continue to sell like crazy. We're close to 60% sold out. The date isn't until October. It could easily be sold out this week.
Yep.
So go get it quick for Seattle. Get it.
Searching for something better to do than sip lattes at the original Starbucks? Welcome, sip some sexy. The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is coming to Seattle. And you will be entertained.
So, the flannel shirt deal, is that a nod to the crispy Seattle weather?
On October 1st, at the Moore Theater, John Fugelsang, House Funks, and the woman who is sharper than the Space Needle, Stephanie Miller, will spread their progressive sound across the Puget Sound. Tickets are available online at stgpresents.org or by calling 877-784-4849. It's more affordable than a low-fat, half-calf, double espresso mocha ice frappuccino. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Get ready, Seattle, to be sleepless, sweaty, and sexy.
Sexy. Sexy. Thank you. Thank you, Shado. All right, so get it, Seattle. And Sexy Liberals, attention, Sexy Liberals, trying to get your sexy on. Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, Carborough coming up next. You've got to get your tickets. I would say get them today.
Less than 2 weeks away.
Yeah, Saturday, June 4th, we will be in Raleigh-Durham. Minneapolis, Saturday, June 18th. Chicago, June 25th for Gay Pride Weekend. And, of course, Boston, Saturday, July 16th. Seattle, October 1st. And lots of, I think we're going to have other announcements this week.
Really?
So hurry, get it. Get it. Get those. Get it. Speaking of, if this ever happened to you guys, even when you're... Even if you're liberal and, you know, supposedly empathetic and, you know, about all things. David Bender and I were out somewhere recently. Has this ever happened to you or someone has a...
Has this ever happened to you?
Yes. It's a... Well, let's just say someone had a rather unusual physical situation going on. You know, have you ever seen... And you try not to... It's the gag reflex that you need to...
Like an extra arm growing out of their...
Well...
Head?
Yes. in this case, like a, it was a neck situation.
You mean like a Star Trek goiter accident?
Like, yes, but really large. And
elephantitis?
I don't know.
Elephantiasis.
Whatever.
That would be an inflammation of the elephant.
Yeah. But I had a hard time. I didn't really, you know, it's like, you know, suppressing your gag reflex when you're like, oh, Stephanie, this guy was like, oh, thank you so much. Gag! You know, it's that thing that you need to. And so we were thinking.
No one has goiters anymore.
Well, I don't know what it was. I don't know what it was. But we were thinking we could make a lot of money if we marketed a product called, like, Gackaway, something like that, like, for those awkward social situations.
Was this person in...
Take Gackaway.
Was this person in, like, a customer service kind of situation?
I don't want to get into it anymore.
All right.
Nobody
I
did
feel
say,
bad.
Sanctuary!
It's just when that, exactly, when that do not stare
not
at that mole
like
is not enough. I think you need Gackaway, is what I'm saying.
He is not
for
an animal.
Awkward social.
He is not an animal.
I'm David Bowie.
He's
thanks
a human
so much
being.
For Gackaway coming.
He's not an animal. He's
no,
a human
exactly.
being.
No, exactly. That's my point. That's why I need Gackaway. So you don't overreact to things that you were not expecting to see. Okay.
You're a gackist.
Yes.
Do not stare at the mole. Do not stare at
it. Oh, it was a mole?
No, it wasn't. I'm just saying,
oh.
There are certain things that you try not to.
It was a tumor. It's not a tumor.
It's not a tumor
it's
of
a
any
femur.
Kind.
It's a femur. Ah!
Jim, this one's for you.
What?
Well, it's just, you know, stuff that you like to give me about. Julie in Seattle sent a lovely bar graph. Question, Steph, who is responsible for racking up the national debt? Hint, when Stephanie Miller was young and foolish, she actually voted for the worst culprit. Wow! Look at that there on the Ustream. Check it out. Ronald Reagan increased the debt 189%.
Well, there I go again. Mm,
there he went again. George H.W. Bush, 55%. Mm-hmm. Bill Clinton, 37%. George W. Bush, 86%.
You're welcome, America.
Barack Obama's lowest at 35%. The lowest increasing. Just look at that big graph that the Gipper's sitting on.
That's why he's just like Hitler, according to Pam Geller.
Yeah, isn't he? Wow. All right. She also sent I guess, the quote for you, Jim.
Mm.
Who said, someone has to come to the aid of the Republican Party. I've seen a more appealing lineup on an episode of Law & Order Special Victims Unit. Now, the reason it's so hard for Republicans to run these days is the same reason the ratings for Donald Trump's show are up this year. The crazier the contestants, the more voters like it. Who said that?
Fred Thompson. Can I get a little applause? No? All right. I guess I'll go
home. Bill Maher. The highly entertaining rules, apparently.
I'm pretty tired. Think I'll go home now.
Who said they keep flirting with flavors of the month where each mortifying rabid has-been shines for a minute and then flames out in a toxic cloud like an eco-friendly light bulb, all in a vain attempt to somehow find a candidate meaner than Trump and dumber than Palin? Who said that?
Phil Lamar.
No. No more.
Close.
Shockingly enough. Okay. One last one. A candidate who will meet these criteria, A, never compromise on anything or ever work with the Democrats, B, always treat Obama like he's some mysterious black guy who just turned up uninvited at your country club, President Bagger Vance, and C, never admit government is useful for anything. The government is always like Snooki's vagina. It's too big, it services too many people, and nothing good will ever come out of it.
Oh.
Who said that?
Marvin the Martian.
No.
I claim this vagina in the name of Mars.
No.
Mar. I don't even think Marvin the Martian would claim Snooki's vagina.
Dear God. Right. Oh, goodness. Love. From Ellie in Sausalito writes, Mama, now you've gone and done it. I just called my large boy cat my handsome and romantic man. And sounded just like a cartoon character the way you do. I have to cut back on listening to your show. Really? No, you don't.
No, you don't.
She's quite the artist, Ellie.
I know.
She needs to listen more so that she inoculates herself against that sort of thing.
You're a handsome romantic athletic man.
Stop it.
And speaking of animals, it's
that's your rambling house voice. That's not a voice for the radio or for
it's
work.
In my inside voice?
Yes. Uh-huh. Inside your big rambling voice.
I left the radio on, though, so Max and Frank can hear Mama.
Do you do that? Do you really do that?
No. I leave on my same Sinatra music I always have on. Okay. Speaking of animals, Return of the Beaver Stack. This is Jim sends this. Angry beaver roams through northwest town.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. A large, agitated beaver... Mm. Attracted a crowd in Fort Smith.
Down, Snooki. Down.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
I knew you'd somehow connect that story together. Mm-hmm. This week when it meandered through town and got hissy with a German Shepherd.
Hissy?
Hmm. I wonder if it was rabid.
Didn't I read that in a Xavier Hollander book back in the 70s? Anyway, best quote ever for Beaver Snack. Kaiser told CBC News, it looked huge. I always thought beavers would be smaller. Okay. All right.
Oh, boy.
Xavier who?
Oh.
Xavier, the happy hooker.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was a story. Yeah. It's a long story. Like when you know when you snag your mom's sex novels in her thing. It was the Happy Hooker book. There's something about a German Shepherd. You don't need to know.
Republicans read that sort of thing. I'm shocked.
Apparently,
your mom read that?
Well, doing naked handstands, apparently.
Found it in her bedside table when I was snooping around.
Wow. All right.
All right, Chris. Okay. Could you take your organ out, please? I know in the absence of the ecclesiastical MOOC today. Mm-hmm. I have a Nicholas Kristof. I thought an entertaining religion and sex quiz, Jim, just in honor of the, I guess, the rapture not happening. Okay. It's a 2011 religion and sex quiz. Here we go. Number one, the Bible's position on abortion is A, never mentioned, B, to forbid it along with all forms of artificial birth control, C, condemnatory, except to save the life of the mother. Which
a,
is the answer there.
Never mentioned.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry, you're right.
Oh.
I'm not used to you ever being right about anything. I'm
oh,
so sorry.
Oh, do you
want
me guessing or no?
No, you can guess.
Okay.
All right. Yes, that's true. I think the ecclesiastical MOOC told us that.
Yes.
All right, in honor of the rapture not happening, Jim, the Bible suggests marriage is A, the lifelong union of one man and one woman, B, the union of one man and up to 700 wives, C, often undesirable because it distracts from service to the Lord.
All three.
You're
all the above.
Good at this. I can't believe the godless communist got one right, too. Dear God. Yes, A,
religion
B,
fascinates me. It does.
Like slime mold.
Yeah, I don't believe in it,
but it
really does fascinate
me. What the hell is that?
When I was a kid, I used to watch the PTL Club all the time.
Really?
Well, that's probably why you're an atheist
maybe,
now. Yeah,
that could be.
Yeah, you are correct. A, B, and C, Jim. The Bible limits women to one husband, but other than that, it's all over the map.
Yes.
Mark 10 envisions a lifelong marriage of one man and one woman, but King Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Let's see, Matthew, St. Paul,
busy.
Both seem to suggest the ideal approach is to remain celibate and avoid marriage if possible while focusing on serving God. In Matthew 19:12, Jesus even seems to suggest that men make themselves eunuchs. Yikes.
Oh, dear.
Leading the early church to ban enthusiasts from self-castration.
Actually, there was a sect that did that, where they'd like hit it with rocks till all the junk fell off.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ow.
To achieve spiritual...
Oh, thanks for that, Jim.
Yeah.
Got a lot of men crossing their legs.
That's devotion. Yeah.
Oh. Yikes. Yeah. Yikes. Wow. All right. 18 minutes after the hour, we'll do a skosh more of that and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
I want to do bad things.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12. Katrina in Albuquerque is also disappointed that she was not raptured on Saturday. Hello, Katrina.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. You know, I listen to you every day, and I've been laughing so hard, thinking you guys are going to be surprised when us Christians, true believers, are raptured to heaven.
That's right.
But my
faith. So you couldn't wait. Well, you couldn't wait for today's show, could you?
Not really.
Yeah.
But my faith has been shaken to the core because I strongly believe this, and
of course it has.
I spent the whole day in prayer on my knees in front of my little futon bed, and I was just so disappointed.
Mm. Katrina, are you kidding or are you sincerely a Republican Christian?
I'm kind of kidding.
Okay.
You're kind of, you got us. Okay, Katrina. You can't tell. She was teetering on sincerity there.
Yeah, that was smacking. Yeah.
OK. Okay. David in Minneapolis on the Rapture as well. Hi, David.
Hey, Mom. You know, the reason Paul said it wasn't worth getting married was because he believed that the end was coming soon as well. He was totally convinced that it was. And so
was
why
this?
Bother with St. Paul, the one who wrote, yeah. Better Not to Get Married, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, Paul, the guy in the Bible, sure. Just in case. But a really funny story, when I was still clergy, we were doing a little Bible study once on this subject about the end times and all this kind of stuff, and how it's kind of a useless waste of time. And there was this wonderful old woman, and she was talking about how silly she thought it all was, too. She was a young girl when the whole War of the Worlds thing took place, with Orson Welles. And their family was eating dinner one night when some guy runs in from the next door going, "The Martians are coming. It's the end of the world." And her brother's response was, "But we just got a new car."
All right. Kirsten in Minneapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kirsten.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to give you an update on what it's like here in Minneapolis. It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
We're known on the north side for having lots of beautiful trees that hang over the streets and whatnot. And
sure.
I guess a good half of them are down in some neighborhoods, completely uprooted. Smash cars. If anybody in the area is interested in helping with the cleanup efforts, we're meeting at Emerson Avenue in the 1800 block, and we need volunteers, as many as we can get.
Is everyone in your neighborhood okay?
As far as I know, everybody okay. I talked to is,
okay.
But they are saying there's about 30 confirmed or supposed deaths in
Minneapolis
area.
Wow, I didn't realize you affected that far over. Wow. All right, Kirsten, our thoughts and prayers go out, honey. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right.
What is it about this year and all these tornadoes? It's just been devastating.
Well, yeah. Well, I
know.
I was looking at Jim
when I said that.
No, it's not. I don't think it's a conspiracy. I think this is what you know. Jim always says it's not global warming. It's climate change.
And also, there's been a lot of unusual solar activity too, which can affect the weather and the electromagnetic.
I've heard a lot of
movement of
credible scientists that have said that. Yes, that's next, the magma. Hello, Michael in Alabama on the Rapture. Hello, Mike.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm actually from Long Beach, California, first time caller.
Oh.
I love you guys' show.
I love you too.
I understand that all these people's faith is shooken, but
or shaken.
When you put your faith, their faith,
it's not
from
stirred.
All this.
Yeah, either way.
But here's the thing, being a Christian, actually reading the Bible, you knew that this man couldn't be telling the truth just because Jesus doesn't know, the angels don't know. So for these people to place their faith in man instead of actually God.
Right, you shall not know the time or place. Or
that makes Harold Camping a false prophet.
Yeah.
Exactly, and the Bible warns them about this, but they refuse to read.
Yep, exactly. All right, Dee and Joyzy on the Rapture as well. People are very disappointed like I am. All right, Dee and Jersey.
Yeah, I was watching that the whole Rapture business this weekend, and it reminded me of a line outside of Studio 54 from back in the 80s. Yeah.
Okay. A bunch of people in bad clothes, bad 70s clothes, were waiting to... All right.
And Liza Minnelli dancing with Bianca Jagger.
Okay, take your organ back out, please. Jim, let's continue in honor of the Rapture not happening, our religion and sex quiz from the New York Times on Saturday. The Bible says of homosexuality, A, Leviticus describes male sexual pairing as an abomination. B, a lesbian should be stoned at her father's doorstep. Yikes.
I don't think Bob's going to
My dad
that.
And Goldwater probably.
Yeah.
They wanted stonings for a lot of other reasons, I guess. C, there's plenty of ambiguity and no indication of physical intimacy, but some readers point to Ruth and Naomi's love as suspiciously close, or to King David declaring to Jonathan, "Your love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women." Is it, which one is it?
Paul and.
No, A and C.
Oh.
As for stoning on a father's doorstep, that's the fate not of lesbians, but of non-virgin brides.
Ah.
Deuteronomy. Woo!
Dodge that bullet or stone.
Yikes, I dodged that stone.
Yeah.
29 minutes after the hour.
Everybody must get stoned.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show with Alan Grayson.
Did you and
Stephanie Miller
get home last night?
Don't know. Kind of blurry.
Good Lord, you smell like a brewery.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Tomorrow, Tuesdays with Aish Tyler. And, of course, we have Jake Tapper from ABC News.
That's right.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Gail in Wisconsin on the Rapture. Hello, Gail.
Hi. Yeah, I had two
comments or possibilities on the rapture. One, we know Harold Camping is a false prophet because he has $70 million. I don't think $70 million can fit through the eye of a needle with or without Mitt Hamill.
Yes,
well, according
you.
To Republicans, there's no false prophet. Prophet is always good.
Yes.
Yes. The other possibility is that the rapture did happen and all the righteous people have been called to heaven and they're both gone.
Yeah.
There's just not that many of them, so we didn't notice. All right.
It was Rude Pundit and Jesus.
It's that time once again. Yeah.
And now it's time for Congressman Alan Grayson and your chance to face the Grayson.
1-800-STEP-12. Good morning, former Congressman Alan Grayson. We're just living in the past. I'm always going to refer to you as Congressman.
It's fine by me. I have to ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
I was listening to the show on the Friday, and now that you've had a whole weekend to think about it, I just want to find out, are you still against jewelry made from human body parts?
Oh, boy.
I'll tell you why I ask. In case I get back in.
Mm-hmm.
And I introduced the Anti-Human Jewelry Made from Body Parts Act of 2013.
Yes.
I want to make sure I don't get any flack from you.
Yes, I think you're referring to the Kesha, the singer story, right? Was wearing her fan's teeth and a necklace or something.
And her own placenta.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Were there more than one? Did you have a lot of reports of jewelry made from body parts on Friday?
Yeah, you thought you caught the only one.
I have to be more careful about this. I need to listen to the entire show.
That's right. Three hours a day.
You know you'll always have my heart. Not literally, but you know what I'm saying. All right. Now, as usual, you write a hilarious piece about Sarah Palin and let's just say her mental capacity and her chances of getting into the race. I mean, first of all, this literally is becoming more about who's not running than who's running on the Republican side, right?
I don't understand why people are writing her off. I mean, if the Iowa caucuses were held today, she would win.
Yeah, I know.
If the South Carolina Republican primary were held today, she probably would win. And she hasn't said she's not running.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just don't understand. People seem to be assuming that she's out of the picture when, in fact, she's not.
You write, yesterday Chris Matthews said that, or not yesterday, whenever it was, Sarah Palin is profoundly stupid. You say he was trying to explain why Sarah Palin will never be president. The answer is obvious. Everyone would rather have Tina Fey as president. And I think that's true.
Yeah, I mean, Tina Fey and Sarah Palin are both funny, but Tina Fey intends to be funny.
Yes, right. Yes.
That's the difference between them. Sometimes I think she's funny and sometimes I think she's sad. I actually, before I wrote that, sat down and listened to one of her speeches. She came to Orlando 10 days before the last election for the third time to campaign against me.
Right.
Three times. And she was introducing all the local candidates. Unfortunately for her, the guy who was running against me didn't even bother to show up to her rally, so it came time to introduce him, and he wasn't there. But nevertheless, she just glorified him and lashed into me like nobody else who was running last year.
Right.
I guess I really do have a way to get under their skin.
Right.
And she called me a jackwagon.
That's my favorite.
Jackwagon.
Like that commercial with the drill sergeant.
Self-confidence, you jackwagon.
Right, like that commercial.
Yeah.
She actually called you a jackwagon?
She called me a jackwagon in front of 1,000 people, and nobody covered it. I mean, it was remarkable. You know, people could throw all right-wingers could throw all sorts of mud at me in the last election, and nobody would mention it, and the media wouldn't cover it. In the ads that they ran against me, the average person in Orlando saw 70 negative ads against me in the last campaign, all underwritten by the right wing, not by my opponent, but by the right wing. So they actually called me a liar, a loudmouth, a national embarrassment. A dog. They had a dog with an Al Grayson nameplate on it. That must have hurt the dog, but you know. And finally, an evil clown. They had a guy dressed as a clown who looked sort of like me a little bit.
Wow.
Who was wandering around on a stage, and then Palin comes and calls me a jackwagon, and I'm the bad guy.
Yeah.
I'm the one who's doing all the negative advertising.
Yeah, you're mean.
According to them, right?
You actually wrote you offered 10 additional reasons why Sarah Palin will never be president. Number one, she doesn't know who's buried in Grant's tomb. She couldn't tell you what year the War of 1812 was fought, and so on and so on, in your usual bout of hilarity.
Yeah, you know, I stole that from Groucho Marx. You know, I mentioned that in an email. Groucho Marx had a show called You Bet Your Life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, I mean, I know the show hasn't been on for a long time, and I'm sort of giving away my age here. although you seem to remember it, Stephanie.
I do.
And he used to, you know, if he wanted the contestant to win something, he would ask a question like that, like, when was the War of 1812? Who was buried in Grant's tomb? What was the color of George's tomb? And those are questions that Palin could answer. I mean, other than that, I think she'd zero out on virtually any contest, but
she'd say those are lamestream media trick questions to ask what JFK's initials were.
Exactly.
Exactly. All right. So now the latest, Mitch Daniels is out. I can also feel
Mitch
the excitement.
Who?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But Charlie Daniels is in.
Yeah, Charlie Daniels might still get in. I mean, almost anything could go this year.
The way they qualify their candidates, it's remarkable to me. Why would anybody think that Mitch Daniels could serve as the leader of the free world?
Yeah.
Why would anybody think that?
Yeah.
And who is John Huntsman?
Well,
exactly.
What
is going on here? Is this the best they can come up with against Barack Obama?
Right. And the worst thing that the reason that John Huntsman will not win is because he's written virtual love letters to Barack Obama about what a great president he is, which would automatically disqualify you on the Republican side.
I think they should be disqualified because, A, they can't do the job, and B, if they did the job, we'd all be in serious trouble.
Well, I mean, I love that yesterday on Meet the Press, you know, Paul Ryan, you know, says there might be a little wiggle room on whether he ever runs for president. I'm like, based on what? The overwhelmingly negative reaction to your budget and your plan to destroy Medicare?
Paul Ryan's budget is the longest suicide note in history.
It's a political suicide note, it is.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
and anybody who lines up behind it is lining in front of an electoral firing squad.
Yeah, yeah. So Tim Pawlenty, I guess, is announcing today. I mean, is it me or is this what a lot of analysts are saying? This is the weakest Republican field we've ever seen.
Well, frankly, you know, in terms of name recognition, Palin would actually rank pretty high. The interesting thing is that people are ignoring the Palins who are out there and focusing on these self-anointed, self-appointed, unknown candidates because they realize that the real names like Palin are hopelessly damaged and couldn't possibly beat Barack Obama.
Right. Yeah, that's the first year they're praying for no name recognition for their candidates.
Of course, Hitler has name
recognition.
Well,
to know them is not exactly to like them. That's the way it is. I mean, they're all tools.
Yeah. Here's one of my favorite things ever said in a presidential campaign, Newt Gingrich.
So let me say, on the record, any ad which quotes what I said on Sunday is a falsehood. And because I have said publicly, those words were inaccurate and unfortunate.
I'm a big fat liar, frankly.
That's hilarious. Anything that quotes me directly is lying.
I'd be worried that if we elected him president, he would instantly start to cheat on the country. You know, he'd go off and be president of India, president of China.
Yeah, because the country is a little sick economically, so I'm sure he would leave us. Wow. I mean, it really, it is kind of a stunning, I have to say, that's got to be one of the worst entrances ever to a presidential campaign, wasn't it?
He's only presidential material in his own mind.
Right.
There's a lot of that in politics on both sides, to tell you the truth. A lot of the people who end up being candidates are candidates simply because they think they ought to be congressman or they think they ought to be president. There's very little actual qualifying that goes on because the parties are so weak.
Yeah.
You know, anybody who shows up at the Republican debates and says, I want to be president, basically gets a turn at the lectern.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is a reflection of the system that we have. We don't end up with the best people in office. It depends entirely on who votes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you mentioned John Huntsman. Take a listen to this.
I work for the president of the United States.
Oh, my God.
The president asked me, the president of all the people. And during a time of war, during a time of economic difficulty for our country, if I'm asked by my president to serve, I'll stand up and do it. I do it again, of course.
He likes Chinese food.
Yes. That's why he took it.
Yeah, that's why he did it.
Right.
I mean,
where do you get better Chinese food than being ambassador to Beijing?
But, I mean, you know, the article I was reading, John Huntsman's secret life as a progressive, I mean, that's what they have to hide. Anything that is vaguely, like, anything like health care that has worked in Massachusetts for Mitt Romney, anything that vaguely looks like you might work with the president, I mean, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
You know, it's because of who votes in Republican primaries. If you look at, I think we've talked about this before, if you look at who votes in primaries, 4% of the population votes in Republican primaries, 5% of the population votes in Democratic primaries. But in Democratic primaries, you've got blacks, you've got Latinos, you've got labor union people voting, you've got Jews, You've got, you know, quite a variety of different people, Asians, you know, and the only qualification, it seems, to vote, not just to run, but to vote in the Republican primaries is that you have to be a lunatic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they will only vote for other lunatics.
Oh, speaking of which, Pizza Guy's in. So free twisty bread for everybody, first of all. Yeah. Herman Cain's in, right?
I listened to his speech, and he's got this nice black church thing going. You know, I've been in enough black churches to know what he's doing. But the fact of the matter is that the country is not exactly looking to elect an African-American Ayn Rand as president.
I think that could be, if it were him, it could be a replay of the Barack Obama Alan Keyes race in Illinois. It's, you know, the whole, like, you get that it's not just any black guy, right? You can't just go, oh, here, we have a black guy too, and then pick the craziest black guy you can find.
Well, he's simply concentrating on the wrong things. You know, he thinks that the real problem in this country is that rich people don't have enough money.
Yeah, clearly.
And there's very few people who actually agree with that, but enough of them are voting Republican primaries so that he might actually win.
Yeah.
Most people you talk to, they say, you know, it's almost unimaginable that I'll be able to have enough money to pay for my kids' college.
Yeah.
Where am I supposed to get that money from? I have no money saved up for my retirement. If I lost my job, I'd have to live on savings, and I don't have any savings, so basically I have to live on credit cards. I can't even get any new credit cards because they don't, you know, they're not sending me 12 in the mail the way they used to.
Right.
You know, these are the problems that actually are on people's minds right now. My house used to be worth $300,000. Now it's worth $150,000. And Cain thinks, again, you know, the real problem is that big corporations need more money.
Yeah.
All just completely out of touch in Cain's case.
His plan is, if you haven't figured out how to own your own pizza chain, then you're a loser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I will give him credit for one thing. He had people who were working for him and expending an hour of their time, and he was getting that hour of their time for $8, and he was charging $15 for the pizzas. So, you know, that's the kind of magic of the marketplace that's almost incomprehensible to ordinary people. How is it that an hour of a person's time is worth $8 and a pizza's worth $15?
There you go. Republican math. Alan Grayson, always a pleasure, sir. Please come back again soon.
My pleasure. Thank you.
There he goes. Former. I stumble over the word former every time.
I know.
He'll be back.
That could change.
Yes, I know.
I have a feeling he's getting back in the race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yay. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Van in Albuquerque. Hi, Van.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. Thank you. Love you guys.
Love you back. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to chime in on the fella who decoded the Bible. I don't know his name because I didn't pay any attention to it.
Uh-huh.
Harold Camping.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, Harold. I got a new name for him.
What's that?
Nostra Dumbass.
Hey, hi. What?
That was funny.
Could you take your organ back out, please?
Sure.
I whipped
it out three times this morning for you.
Boy, howdy. Mm-hmm. In honor of the rapture not happening, we are continuing, Jim, our religion and sex quiz from the New York Times because I found it fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
In the absence of the ecclesiastical MOOC today. In the Bible, erotic writing is A, forbidden by Deuteronomy as adultery of the heart, B, exemplified by Song of Songs, which celebrates sex for its own sakes, C, unmentioned. Which one?
A and B.
B.
Yes! Wow! The atheist is racking it up this morning.
Damn straight.
Damn Skippy. Yes, B. Read Song of Songs and blush. It also serves as a metaphor for divine relations with Israel or with humans.
Mm? Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh. Okay.
Pam Geller has something to say about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she already thinks the president is real. Hey! You see what I did there? Because wee!
By the things.
Okay. Number five, let's see. Jesus says divorce is permitted, A, only after counseling and trial separation, B, never, C, only to men whose wives have been unfaithful.
B.
Oh, no.
What?
BNC.
Oh. Mm. Wait a minute. Well, you can choose more than one?
Apparently.
Oh, this
is a trick quiz.
Lame, then.
Jesus
never
in Mark
and sometimes.
10, 11, 12 condemns divorce generally, but in Matthew suggests that a man can divorce the wife, his wife if she is guilty of sexual
slut.
Immorality.
Look at a slut.
Talking to you, Mrs. Mitch Daniels.
Jesus must look at her slut.
Excuse me. Okay. Among sexual behavior that is forbidden is A, adultery, B, incest, C, sex with angels.
I like C.
No, A, B, and C. This is a very tricky quiz.
Yeah, this is lame.
We forget that early commentators were very concerned about sex with angels. Genesis interpreted in the letter of Jude and other places as an incorrect mixing of two kinds.
Well, that's... I think they're referring to space aliens.
Oh. That
you don't want to mate with the aliens.
The ecclesiastical MOOC...
Or Ben Affleck dressed as an angel.
The ecclesiastical MOOC, John Fugelsang, always says that Sodom and Gomorrah was about the rape of angels.
Well, we're getting to that, for God's sakes. Number seven, the people of Sodom were condemned principally for A, homosexuality, B, blasphemy, C, lack of compassion for the poor and needy.
Not paying their parking tickets.
It was actually C, according to this quiz.
Rape of angels. According to John Fugelsang, I take
C, it's the lack of compassion for that.
Oh,
sodomy... Sodomy is a term for gay male sex, began to be commonly used only in the 11th century and would have surprised early religious commentators. They attributed Sodom's problems with God to many different causes, including idolatry, threats toward strangers, and general lack of compassion for the downtrodden. Ezekiel, that's my favorite, suggests that Sodomites had pride, excess of food, and prosperous ease, but did not aid the poor and needy.
Hmm, that sounds like the Republican Party.
So there, exactly.
Wow. Mm-hmm. They're all hanging out at the all-you-can-eat buffet.
Yeah. Talking to you, Newt. Okay, let's go to Ed in Houston. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ed.
Good morning, Steph.
Good morning.
Hey, I just wanted to ask if anybody saw the David Gregory show yesterday on Meet the Press.
Yes.
And my observation...
I boycotted yesterday. I'm getting annoyed.
Stephanie, every time somebody said revenue side, he would immediately run away from it and like, we need to cut, we need to cut. I'm like, wait a minute, guy. We need revenue. How are you going to balance a budget if you don't bring money into the pot?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and he ran away from it each and every time.
I know. I know. Tool.
No, I can't watch the...
I boycotted
anymore.
Yesterday. Mm-hmm. Robert in Palm Springs, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Robert.
Good morning, Steph. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. Happy post-rapture Monday.
Thank you. You too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. I was talking about Schwarzenegger Friday, and I didn't get to finish my point, so I thought I would call back.
Okay.
There is no difference between Schwarzenegger and Strom Thurmond, who also had a child with a maid.
Oh. Yeah, oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
And Rush Limbaugh, Rush Limbaugh did something far worse with a maid. He actually committed a crime. He had her go score his Oxycontin.
He had her commit a crime.
What the hell is he doing chiming in?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think, according to the ecclesiastical MOOC, you'd have to stone Rush Limbaugh four times if you were really following biblical teaching.
And hit him straight in the junk as that thing.
That was Jim's, I don't know anything about getting rid of your junk with a rock.
Okay.
That's a whole... something.
He'd only need a small rock. But, you know, what I'm saying
at least
is,
he brought it up, because when I do stories about guys getting hit in the groin, then he immediately retaliates with America's funniest vaginal mishaps.
But this is self-inflicted.
Oh, okay.
They want to be
more well, then that's funny.
So,
okay.
You've got Rush Limbaugh himself said, I wish I could tell you about what I did on my vacation in the Dominican Republic, my friend. But I can't. Really? Discuss.
I love this story, Celebrity Stack, about the Schwarzenegger's problem. One analyst said his biggest problem, basically it's not about the out-of-wedlock child, it's that he's a big middle-aged tub of goo.
Well, he is. Seen those shirtless pictures of him lately?
That's what pisses me off about him making fat jokes about Maria, and that's why she got so concerned about her weight. Have you seen those pictures of him?
Well, yeah, once the muscle starts to deteriorate. And then...
Yeah. His biggest problem as an action star has nothing to do with being an adulterer. It has to do with being 63 years old and physically wrecked. Unless they're going to make Terminator 6 the golden years, according to one PR crisis consultant. The love child is the least of his worries.
But lifting that amount of weight for
But you know what? There are people in their 70s who have really great bodies.
Yeah, Jack LaLanne was still tugging
boats
across the English Channel with his teeth when he was 70.
English Channel.
Schwarzenegger just stopped lifting weights. And once you start doing that, once you stop doing that, it just all goes to hell.
All the skin is stretched out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
and started lifting housekeepers. Never mind. All right. 58 minutes after the hour, Mondays with McClurg next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, wait, we got to do this first. Amy in Iowa has some sex with angels fun facts. Hi, Amy. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Go ahead. Hi, Amy.
Hello.
Amy. Hello. Oh, damn it. Now we're all going to...
She was touched by an angel.
Exactly.
Prevented now, from talking about...
Exactly. Now, many of us...
getting their groove on.
All right. You know, we thought she... Because if there's anyone we know that would have been raptured, it would have been Edie McClurg. But no, she's here.
Sounds
she just
like
got here.
Somebody's yeah. got a case of the Mondays.
With McClurg.
Monday. Sportos, motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads. They all adore it.
Edie McClurg.
Why are you looking so unbelievably glamorous this morning?
Well,
you're wearing jewelry and...
Well, I was out with Newt.
Perfect, frankly.
He just showered me with jewels.
Wow, you've got the entire Tiffany yes. showcase.
Yeah, and, you know, I'd met him when I was, you know, dating Broad Crawford.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And he, Broad always used to say, 10-4. And I'd 10-4 him back.
And he's in some sort of character this morning.
It's Dot Duncan, the fading film star. He used to appear and wow. do film reviews on the David Letterman daytime show. Yes, and he's forgotten all about me, David. You know, he's such a sad boy. He bites
oh,
his
what
nails.
Are we doing on time?
He bites, and bites his nails, you know. And he was...
Wow.
He wouldn't let me touch him, but I always like to touch whoever I'm near when I'm performing. I
don't do that to Jim.
Them.
Don't. Jim is not. All right, Edie.
He's not very
all right.
touchy.
And scene. All right,
Thank
Edie.
That's why I was
the
late. I was
of
putting
Duncan.
On all my bling.
Wow, I think she's auditioning for the Sexy Liberal Show, ladies and gentlemen.
Perfect.
I'll take these Raleigh, off so I can put on my earphones.
Raleigh Durham. Chapel Hill Carborough coming up next, Saturday, June 4th. Minneapolis, Saturday, June 18th. Chicago, Saturday, June 25th. Mm-hmm. Boston, Saturday, July 16th. And just added Seattle, October 1st. Get it. Go to sexyliberal.com or sexyliberal on Facebook to find out how to get tickets to all of that.
No. Get your tickets now.
I'm just flying out the door. Oh, I got a lot of these offers. I don't know if you were disappointed in not being raptured, Edie, but Vince writes, Steph.
I was ruptured, though.
Did you have a rupture instead?
Yes, yes.
That's too bad.
I've been hobbling around all weekend long. I said, what is wrong with me?
It's
what
the
is
rupture.
Wrong with me? And it was the rupture.
Something ruptured, yes.
It was the rupture.
Vince tried to, you know, preemptively, Steph, I know you're going to be raptured this weekend. I volunteer to take Max and Fred. I already have Teddy's Pride, and we'll order some Best Yet from Cedarside. And I have glorious bitches for them. What about me, Vince? What about me? Why don't I get these offers?
You need a glorious bitch.
Yeah, thank you. I'd like to thank everybody at Long Beach Gay Pride, where I was the Grand Marshal this weekend.
Ta-da.
People were very, very sweet.
Ooh.
Except one person that yelled, eat a sandwich at me. I guess that was a skinny joke. I don't know.
Oh, that was the real compliment
like,
for you.
It's me. All right. Oh, how about this? I did get this offer from Major D.C. Good morning, Steph. I'm in Rochester, New York. I've been a fan since your Sister Sleaze days with Brother Weeze. You are without a doubt the hottest woman in radio. Will you pose noomed for me?
Noomed?
He actually spelled
noomed?
It N-U-M-D-E. So I'm not really
noomed.
Certain what that is. It's not nude, apparently. It's
noomed.
Yes. He would like me to pose noomed. Which is pretty much the only offers I get these days. And I don't even know what that is. So I guess I'll say yes. Sure.
So, noomed
I am
like
noomed.
Naked.
I don't really know. How's about this story? I believe children are the future, Edie. This is an awful story. A Pennsylvania woman will stand trial on charges she fed marijuana-laced margarine to a 12-year-old girl she was babysitting, as well as two other children at her home.
Why margarine?
Margarine's the bad part.
Well, here's the punchline. The 12-year-old's mother called police after discovering the drugs in a tub of I Can't Believe It's Not Butter. Well, clearly it's not butter. It's
I cannot
pot.
Believe it's not pot.
That's why it says I can't. Why can't it says it right on there? Okay. Just saying. All right.
Better delivery systems for marijuana.
Yes. Yeah. Margarine. Whatever.
Whatever.
All right. Hey, by the way, Edie, we were talking before the break about the governator.
He is such a pig.
Yeah, here's the thing. I there was one part of this story talking about how he got elected. Having a Kennedy heiress by his side certainly didn't hurt, despite the couple's disparate political leanings. And even though claims that Schwarzenegger had groped other women, as former San Francisco Mayor Willie Brown once put it, Maria has been much more of a benefit to Arnold than Arnold has been to Maria. But I was saying, one person was saying it's going to be hard for him in the movies, not so much because of the love child, but because he's a big, he's a middle-aged tub of goo now, and he's too. And that's why it makes me mad as a woman that apparently he used to make fat jokes about Maria Shriver, and that's why she got so thin, because it just irritates me. All right, Jim, did you do this, the Queen, or am I? No, there's too many bleeps. Never mind. Guess who Prince William got marriage advice from? Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg.
No way.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, some pre-wedding advice one can only imagine. And I'm guessing the Queen was not amused.
I was not amused. I was actually quite amused. But I can't repeat how amused I was on the radio. Did you not on?
Jim started doing Snoop Dogg lyrics as the Queen, and there's not enough.
It'd be all bleeps.
There's not enough in the world for this little sketch.
And plus, I'm afraid I'd read something that
sounds
innocuous to me and actually means something incredibly filthy.
So we decided to about that sketch. So. Anyway.
But the Queen would have liked maybe some tips for Philip.
Oh, Snoop. He's a randy old bastard, according to her.
Oh.
Yes. All right. This I thought only relates, Jim, because, as you know, I shoot ping pong balls on my hoo-ha in the
really?
Sexy Liberal show. Yeah.
Wow. Is there film?
Yeah, well, people ask what it's like, and it's like the radio show without the FCC. There's Hal and I demonstrate teabagging, and there's some of this. But Bradley Cooper, the actor? You don't have to go to Bangkok for that now. You can just go to a sexy liberal show. But he said, one night in Bangkok will make a, hard man humble. So he apparently gets his kicks below the waistline. He said, Bangkok is known for these venues where females are able to do things with their nether regions that you wouldn't think they'd normally do. So this one gal was able to eject ping pong balls at high velocities with amazing accuracy. I, being the jackass that I am, was like, let's do one where I'm like, and he opens his mouth, and I mean, right in my mouth. Record skips, handy wipes coming from everywhere. Ed Helms is throwing up.
Oh.
Ooh,
he caught one in his mouth.
I just think I'm going to buy it.
Oh, boy. Is he ever going to have anyone kiss him again? I don't.
Not enough Listerine in the world,
I guess.
Whatever.
Yikes.
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 That's why they call it Pad Pong.
Amy and Iowa is back with the Having Sex with Angels fun facts. Hi, Amy.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. I know it's critical information. Go ahead.
There you go. Well, first of all, I just want to thank AM950 KTNF for this wonderful iPhone app that they have now, so you can listen to Stephanie Miller all the time.
Oh, it's so awesome. And you have to come see the Sexy Liberal Show in Minneapolis. It's going to be a party.
I saw you on the maiden voyage in Madisonville. Madison.
Awesome.
Madisonville?
Awesome. Madisonville?
Sorry.
That's what they used to call Shelbyville.
All right, go ahead.
Madisonville, Kentucky. It's a very nice place. Anyway, in the Bible, some of the books that were not included in the Bible, such as the Book of Enoch, talk about how the people that actually did survive Noah's flood were the Nephilim, which are the offspring of angels and people.
Oh.
And so, there's all kinds of interesting things that didn't get included in the traditional Bible.
Ah.
So, you should.
Thank you for that. Appreciate it.
Sure.
All right.
It's all about aliens mating with our ancestors.
Oh, really? I take an offer from just about anybody at this point. Okay. Superficial writing. Katy Perry demands that her driver not look at her ease. I have that in my rider, too, but although it's hard to see mine anyway without a magnifying glass of some sort, so.
Hers can be seen from space. And probably are being seen from space right now on the space station. Hey, look at that!
I told you this story. Someone trying to suck up to me once told me I look just like Katy Perry. I'm like, oh, please, don't. her today. I'm like 1,000 years older with 1,000 size smaller breasts. But okay, thank you. The smoking gun has obtained Katy Perry's 45-page long rider. I don't know if you have one, but I have got to get one for the Sexy Liberal Show. I have nothing. And then I get there, and there's like a Cheeto backstage. Nothing. I must think of some demands.
Oh, that's where that you get the M&Ms, but you have to take the red ones
yes.
out.
Uh-huh. Mm. Yes. Don't you have a list of Edie McClure diva demands?
And, just open the door and let me in.
Yeah. Let me in and give me my paycheck. All right, here are the fun facts on Katy Perry's 45-page long tour rider, loaded with demands for glass door refrigerators, Perspex modern-style coffee tables.
What?
And absolutely no carnations.
No.
Ever.
No effing carnations.
Ever.
Yeah.
Wow.
Along with, I guess, wire hangers.
also, that'd be the instant breakfast?
Also included are frighteningly specific instructions for her drivers that have to be from experience. The driver will not start a conversation with the client. The driver will not talk to clients or guests or fans. Do not stare at the back seat through the rearview mirror. And do not ask for autographs or pictures, and especially not while driving. The superficial writing, why do we get the feeling that Katie's been in several situations where a driver wrecked the car staring at her chest through the rearview mirror only to ask for an autograph waiting for the paramedics to arrive? Because honestly, I don't think anything short of hiring a robot is going to stop that. And even then, good afternoon, Miss Katy Perry. Beep, beep. I am J6, your driving robot for the day. Please fasten your seat. Beep. Whoa, those are giant E's. Drives off cliff. Oh, I love writers.
Okay. This situation has arisen before, and it always was because of human... Oh, my God, look at the size of those. Sorry,
all right.
Dave.
I was waiting for him to do that, which I love. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, we continue Mondays with McClurg on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now, 1-800-STEP-1-2.
Stephanie Miller.
I get my kids above the waistline, sunshine.
Yeah, well, because I don't get offers for anything else. Anyway, Edie McClure chair dancing her eyes off in her lovely
jewelry.
Bling.
Tiffany jewelry from Newt Gingrich.
Perfect.
Yeah, 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Aisha Tyler tomorrow, Tuesdays with Tyler, and also Jake Tapper from ABC News. Oh, speaking
Tapper,
of...
I just met her.
Nice!
Hey!
Hargan, Hargan.
Hey!
Now, Jim, speaking of news gigs, Michael Steele is reportedly in talks with MSNBC for
the way I roll, baby.
Political analyst.
Wow.
Boy, he better wear a cup if he's walking by Ed Schultz in the hallway, because... not a fan.
I am not... one of your fans!
Although he's cuddly with Rachel. I don't know what's happening over there.
Ew.
All right, speaking of the news business, you know it's been Jim, like 24-7, what the fox over the president's comments on Israel? That's never been
ever in the history of the world.
It's a Holocaust. It's a, what did Pam Geller say? The Auschwitz plan for Israel because
right.
no
final
one's...
Final solution,
because no president has ever...
Except
there should be an end to the occupation that began in 1967. While territory is an issue for both parties to decide, I believe that any peace agreement between them will require mutually agreed adjustments to the armistice lines of 1949 to reflect current realities and to ensure that the Palestinian state is viable and contiguous.
What?
Pam Geller would say he'd be drugged and forced
what?
To say that at some
he
point.
He said the same, yeah. huh, as president of...
You're going to have two states, and the basis for negotiations will involve looking at that 1967 border, recognizing that conditions on the ground have changed, and there are going to need to be swaps to accommodate the interests of both sides. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, and this was an equally important part of the speech, Israel's going to have to feel confident about its security on the West Bank.
Hmm. Fox, being a journalistic outfit, I'm sure they ran that
the
clip, right?
Quote,
of George Bush just pointing out how similar the policies were.
Oh, God, no.
Perhaps not. The
I just don't understand the gall of Netanyahu lecturing the president.
I know. Yes. I know.
Blindsiding.
Especially
him.
When Israel depends on our foreign aid.
Yeah.
Come on, that would have been kind of funny. All right, well, then maybe we just won't.
Right.
We won't.
I know how we
could
solve our deficits.
We just won't send the check next
time. Turn off the tap.
Yeah, Netanyahu.
While Israel is prepared to make generous compromises for peace, it cannot go back to the 1967 lines.
And then he went on to lecture the president some more.
These lines are indefensible because they don't take into account certain changes that have taken place on the ground, demographic changes that have taken place over the last 44 years. Remember that before 1967, Israel was all of 9 miles wide, was half the width of the Washington Beltway.
All right, and then this, Benjamin Netanyahu.
Peace, based on illusions, will crash eventually on the rocks of Middle Eastern reality.
And I love this. Didn't they say, Jim, all day on Fox, they said that the president didn't say anything about Hamas. He didn't say anything. He didn't condemn them at all.
Hamas has been and is an organization that has resorted to terror. It is not a partner for a significant, realistic peace process.
Like we said, he didn't say anything.
What?
Crap.
What? I'm sure somehow they just lost that tape and then the tape of George Bush.
And who was responsible for Hamas winning the election that one time?
George Bush. George Bush. George Bush, friend of Israel, who Israel said, don't hold the elections now because Hamas is going to win.
Yeah.
George Bush, I know what I'm doing.
Hey, leave me alone.
Back off.
I know stuff.
Smoke him out. Don't you worry.
My dad told me.
Yeah.
Obviously, there are some differences between us, the precise formulations and language, and that's going to happen between friends.
Oh, all right. So I'm sure they'll continue to be, what's her name? Atlas Juggs. Pam Geller will continue to make Holocaust analogies.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the final solution, the president's plan. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
What you meant to say was, hey, Schwarzes!
Jim Louise. Okay, President Obama also yesterday in a BBC interview said he would approve a new incursion into Pakistan if the United States found another leading militant there. Asked if Obama would do the same again if the U.S. discovered another high-value target in Pakistan or another country, such as a senior Al-Qaeda member or Afghan, what's his name, Mullah Omar, or Sayed al-Zawahiri, he said he would take the shot.
I believe he said hell to the yes.
Yes, that's what he said. He said, we are very respectful of the sovereignty of Pakistan, but we cannot allow someone who is actively planning to kill our people or our allies' people. We can't allow these kind of active plans to come to fruition without us taking some action. I made no secret. I said this when I was running for the presidency, that if I had a clear shot at bin Laden, we'd take it, which he did. We played the actual tape. He did exactly what he said he was going to do.
Bastard.
Yeah. To which you remember the right-wing hysteria over that. The old, oh, my God. He's going to bomb Pakistan. He's crazy. And then we played the tape, Edie, and he said exactly, if we have intelligence and Pakistan won't act, we will act and take out bin Laden.
I don't care where he is. I just don't think about him.
Yeah, as it turns out, President Obama did care about him. He did think about him a lot.
Yeah, I don't think about him anymore.
Guys, I got better stuff to do.
I got a clear brush, yeah.
Bike riding.
Ride my bike.
All right, 29 minutes after the hour, back with more Mondays with McClurg on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Like you've been through some hard times.
Actually, I was fine until I saw that face of yours.
Stephanie Miller.
It's painful just to look at you.
See, Edie, during the commercial breaks in here, it's like one of those bullying PSAs. Chris discussing various people in the radio business that smell. It's just not nice. It's not for on air.
I love the inside dirt.
Behind the radio business. Oh, speaking of which, here is Edie McClurg in Behind the Sitcom Business. this? Now, someone posted on Facebook about you had a part in the Jeffersons once.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
As. And you had a little story.
A neighbor.
You had a little wheezy story.
They went on a cruise. Oh. So I was a lady on the cruise.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And there was some kind of nefarious ghosty thing or somebody doing a bad thing on it was a bad
one of those storylines again.
Oh yeah. So we did a scene together, about five of us, and I was placed, you know, at one point, and then after we did the scene, I told the director, you know, I'm supposed to whisper to someone on my right,
yes,
and he's two people away, so I think the blocking might need to be fixed.
Right.
And
blocking, ladies and gentlemen, means where the actors stand when they're filming a scene, for those of you that don't know.
Yes, so
right, go ahead.
We had to finish the scene, and Isabel Sanford was on her way to the craft service table to get that bagel.
Yeah, and I'm told you did not get between Wheezy and the craft services.
No, you did not get between Wheezy and her bagels. So she was beelining
it's like getting
it
between Gloria Allred and the camera. And I love Gloria Allred, I'm just saying. All right, go ahead.
So the director had to say, Isabel, I know I never ask you to do a scene more than once in rehearsal.
She didn't like to rehearse the Wheezy?
No.
Mm.
She felt she did it perfectly the first time.
Yes.
And so he said, but we really do need to change the blocking because of something in the script.
Please don't hurt me.
Would you please come in? And she took that bagel and she threw it down on the table and stomped back over to the blocking area.
Did she say anything about the pre-1967 borders or no? Just threw the bagel? That's bad enough right there.
Mm-hmm.
Surprised Netanyahu didn't throw a bagel.
So it was a good little lesson for me to see and, you know, watch my own behavior.
Yes, sure.
As I became the huge star that I have become.
Yes.
Well, you are.
Well, you know, I have a Wheezy story, too. I guess we shouldn't really be speaking ill of the dead.
Which is kind of
Wheezy.
Fun.
Wheezy was on my late night show, and she was a little, she was a little lubricated.
It was in the, late in the evening?
No, it was, you know, afternoon. Oh. I just remember her being, oh, dear. She was a little...
Did she clock you with a bagel?
Not as much as Rip Torn when he came on, but still.
Oh, Rip.
Yeah,
didn't she have to participate in a skit or something on your show?
Uh-huh.
Oh,
no.
Yeah,
she also didn't want to rehearse that.
Oh.
And she was drunk. Okay. But I loved her. I thought she was a hilarious actress.
Didn't Rip Torn go into a bank thinking it was his house when he was in his cups?
Yes.
Jerry, come here, drink, Jerry.
What are these?
Yeah. And he thought I was Merv Griffin.
Doing
he was so drunk, he thought I was Merv Griffin. It's very weird. He was really drunk.
Well, I can see the resemblance.
What did you just
have you ever done an interview where just the smell alone? Speaking of people that smell, I was just like, holy cow. Holy cow. No, I'm just talking about the alcohol on someone's breath that could knock you over, you know. Just saying. All right. By the way, we just had former Congressman Alan Grayson on. He was talking about, and I did not know this, that Sarah Palin came to his district when he was running and called him a jackwagon.
Got some self-confidence, you jackwagon.
Yeah, it's like that drill sergeant the therapist
Army
commercial.
Yeah.
He was just saying that, you know, so the mainstream media didn't cover that. They go, oh, he's the one that's mean and blah, blah, blah. And I thought, this is unbelievable. I mean, I know this from the amount of, like, hate mail and death threats I get. This 16-year-old girl who challenged Michelle Bachmann to a debate, she's 16. Mm-hmm. She's, you know, she's receiving threats of violence and rape.
Wow.
Oh, gosh.
I mean...
There's your daddy's Republican Party.
Yeah, there it is. Think Progress reported high school sophomore Amy Myers, who challenged history, challenged Michelle Bachmann to a public debate on the basic facts of the U.S. Constitution. And again, she's a kid, and she didn't say anything mean. She just said, I want to, you know. Anyway, it seems some Bachmann fans haven't taken her challenge kindly, are now threatening the teenage girl with violence.
I think the FBI should be tracking these people down.
Yeah. After it started getting media attention last weekend, commentators on Tea Party websites have threatened to publish her home address, and some have threatened violence. The 16-year-old from Cherry Hill says several commentators have called her a whore. Her father says he's concerned for his daughter's safety. The Cherry Hill Courier Press reports that others threaten violence, including rape, and her school has reportedly been receiving threatening mail.
Wow.
These people are nutcases.
Isn't there some law that
you could put these people away for threatening like that? I mean, that's...
Yeah. I mean, I'm a grown woman. I'm used to having someone threaten to shove an AK-47 up my glory hole. But, you know, I can take it. You know, it was just a kid, and it wasn't, you know, it clearly was meant sort of as a joke, but also as a challenge to a lot of the incorrect constitutional things that she's put out there. So
you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. If you're actually suggesting that someone should be murdered or raped, there should be consequences, like incarceration.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
can't they follow those emails up?
Can't
they find out who has that email?
I'm sure they are.
I don't know, Edie. They're all, they're in mourning over the candidacy of Mitch Daniels, who is not running for president.
And the non-rapture.
Exactly.
There's
it's a depressing
whole bunch
time.
Of non-runners now.
Yes, it's all about who's not running now. He said, I was able to resolve every competing consideration but one, and that is the interests and wishes of my family.
Oh, the family. Mm-hmm. Drag them out when you're losing.
He has rather, as they call it, a unique marital history. His wife left him and their four daughters to marry a different man, only to return years later to remarry him. So it seems like the national spotlight, maybe not something the family was... Yeah. hoping for.
But slut! Look at her, slut!
This part. On matters affecting us all, Mitch Daniels said, our family constitution gives a veto to the women's caucus. Then there's no override provision. Simply put, I find myself caught between two duties. I love my country, but I love my family more. So presumably the women's caucus voted for her that it was okay that she left to marry another guy for a few years? Is that... Presumably that's how it works in the Daniels? Mm-hmm. It's quite impressive.
That's baloney land is where they live.
Yeah. I love this headline. Mitch slapped GOP looks for new option. They got Mitch slapped.
Mitch slapped.
Oh! Okay.
Clever. I don't get are they just that desperate? What was the deal about Mitch Daniels? Why was he supposed to be the savior of...
Because there's nobody running?
Yeah.
I guess. Yes. Well, now we've had all the sizzle of the Tim Pawlenty announcement today. That was magic if you missed that.
Like I said, there's nobody running.
Exactly. Once again, is anyone out there? Anyone at all? Can you hear me?
Mitch.
Is anyone out there?
Mm-hmm. Oh, except.
Anyone at all?
The Donald has possibly changed his mind.
Oh, that's what I'm hearing this morning on the Washington, in the Huffington
Post.
He
announced on the Steve Doofus and Brian Dilweed show.
Yes.
Is that Deucey?
Yes. Oh, gosh. Yes.
I changed my mind.
He did not.
I made a huge decision. Huge.
Huge. I am unfiring myself. So he says that now he's thinking he might actually get in at some park. Please. Are you kidding me?
Nope.
He is such a giant, ridiculous blowhole. I mean, does he really think people are... Okay. What did he say exactly? Does it quote him?
I'm trying to look for
okay.
it.
I can't rule out anything.
Well, we can. We can.
You're fired.
Oh, God.
That's what we'll say to him.
What a doofus.
The voters have already ruled you out.
One longtime Republican was blunt when asked about who in the current field was now more appealing. None of the above.
Now, is this Deucey? He's a right-wingy guy, isn't he?
Yes.
He's
too dumb
News.
To have political ideas.
He's
exactly.
Just said what
talk
he's,
about dumb.
Says what he's told.
He had a morning talk show on NBC in New York.
Yeah.
And I was a guest one day.
Oh, I'm sorry.
On that show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I was very sorry myself. And... Paul Prudhomme was going to be on doing a cooking segment,
right. mm-hmm.
and Deucey felt it was beneath him to do that.
Oh,
so
wow.
Of course, with his brain power.
So he asked me to do the cooking segment with Paul Prudhomme, and we had a great time. We laughed.
Take that, Deucey.
Yeah, it was a great segment, and it was like, bee, bee, bee.
How dare you take away my segment like that, you bitch?
Wow, so here's all the excitement they're left with is the budget monster on Meet the Press. Said he's not running for president, but you never know what opportunities might present themselves way down the road.
What?
When people get over maybe the horror of his awful budget plan and plan to destroy Medicare.
Isn't that wonderful, Eddie?
Mm.
I won't go! I won't! You can't beat me! You can't!
Wow-wee. Jim, I'm not saying this is suspicious, but Mitch Daniels also, he had an accident at his gym that left him with 16 stitches on his forehead.
Oh wow.
This is his second injury in recent months.
Oh, jeez.
I'm not saying his wife's involved. I'm just saying. He told Grandma he fell off the swing.
Wow.
He also had surgery on his rotator cuff after he said he heard it shoveling snow. And yesterday, the door at the gym hit him.
Uh-huh.
The door?
The door?
Or maybe the women's caucus in his family was not all that happy with him or something. Not really sure what that's all about. Oh, everyone has
needs to be an intervention.
Everyone has a wheezy story this morning. Michael in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Michael.
Hi there. Back in Boston at Emerson College in 1985, she was my commencement speaker.
Oh. Wow.
Wow.
Did she really encourage you to move on up?
She did. She said, I moved to L.A. And she said she didn't really have a lot of wise things to say. It was like her big advice was, congratulations, you've been through a lot. That's all she really had to say. And we loved that we had her, but at the same time, it was kind of funny. And every time she had something where she paused, everyone in at the graduation class, we would just all yell out, wheezy.
I freeburped.
Oh, God.
All right.
And then everybody broke for lunch early.
And see. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, back with the waning moments of Mondays with the Clerk on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You just blew my mind.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yes, that's right. Having fun today with the Mondays with Ian McClurg. Tomorrow, Tuesdays with Tyler. Aisha Tyler joins us live in studio. And Jake Tapper from ABC News. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Oh, all right. Everybody and their wheezy story. Michael. Michael in Los Angeles.
Mine's really, really surreal because they had a museum opening in Hollywood down under where the old Galaxy Theater was or whatever it was called.
Yeah.
And we went for the grand opening. I was with the press, so I was allowed in. And I sat with her. They had the Cheers bar from the TV show down in the museum. I sat with her at the bar and drank for like a half an hour. She had her young boy toy with her.
Oh, Weezy had a boy toy.
Yeah, and I was sitting at the Cheers bar with her.
That's
very
weird.
Surreal.
That's an L.A. story. That's only in L.A., that story. All right, thank you, honey. You're a former groundling. I have to tell this story again because it's just too hilarious. So you know Elvira and Pee Wee Herman, right?
Oh, yeah. I did the Elvira show recently.
Yes.
We did the brew.
She's hilarious. But I got to hang out with her this weekend. She came to my house for a barbecue.
Cool.
She's a good friend of mine. And anyway, it was just the most hilarious story ever. She went to a therapist recommended to her by Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah.
Which right away, I just...
Computer says no.
I don't. But anyway, so she said, this is the wackiest therapist ever. And she said, one time I'm in there talking and my personal stuff, and she's sort of giggling, and I'm thinking, what is wrong with this chick? And Pee-wee pops up from behind the couch as a little like, nah! You know.
He was eavesdropping
on
your
session? Yeah, and the
therapist
thought it would be funny. Not my session. Elvira's.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I know you. I've been one of mine.
Yeah, the therapist thought I guess it would be funny. They had to do Pee-wee's funniest pranks.
Oh.
And then a few months later, she said, whatever happened to that therapist? And Pee-wee said, oh, she left therapy. She's a flight attendant now.
You know, I knew there was a reason I have not gone into therapy.
Get some self-confidence, you jackwagon.
Arlie Ermey.
Yes.
I did a movie with him
Happy birthday, Arizona.
Dear
Jesus.
Yeah. All right, we've been talking about the pathetic Republican field for president. You know who actually wins, Jim? The only one that can beat Obama? Generic Republican.
Generic.
There's no actual person. There's some idea.
Someone dressed in blue.
Some fictional.
This candidate.
Did you see Bill Maher's, his idea is face ripper monkey? It's the only candidate that could win the Republican nomination. Yeah, it's funny. You have to see it. All right. By the by, New York Magazine, did you see this? What the... Gee, this is a shock. Roger Ailes apparently has extensive influence, Jim, in Republican politics. Who knew?
I have no idea.
They have an extensive profile out of Fox News chief Roger Ailes that details the significant role he plays in conservative politics. furthering the evidence that Fox News is simply a campaign arm of the GOP. The piece quotes an anonymous Republican aide who states, you can't run for the Republican nomination without talking to Roger. And notes that Ailes actively encouraged Republican Governor Chris Christie to run for president. Ailes also apparently doesn't think too highly of his employee, Sarah Palin, who, according to a source close to Ailes, he thinks is an idiot. Oh, God, Jim, to be a fly on the wall at this dinner. Last summer, Ailes invited Chris Christie to his upstate compound along with Rush Limbaugh for dinner.
Wow,
good luck getting anything to eat there. That's
you see a gigantic truck backing up to the kitchen.
That had to be gross. Oh, just the specter of Chris Christie, Rush Limbaugh, and Roger Ailes stuffing their faces. Eating like Renaissance fare, like, you know, turkey wings, yeah.
Are we going to have to get you an oxygen tent?
Tell the wench to bring me some more ale. Yeah, apparently he doesn't like anybody on the Republican side. He hasn't. He finds flaws in everyone, and he thinks Palin's an idiot. He thinks she's stupid. He helped boost her up. People like Sarah Palin haven't elevated the conservative movement, according to this source close to Ailes. So, the budget monster was on Meet the Press saying he might run, which is wildly exciting. He said the criticism of his plan voiced last week on Meet the Press by Newt Gingrich was deeply inaccurate and a gross mischaracterization of the House Republican.
Hasn't he been like a congressman for 5 minutes?
Yes.
And he wants to run for president now?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, by the way, you know who else didn't like his plan besides everybody? Besides 75% of the American people? The CBO. Congressional Budget Office found under Ryan's redesigned Medicare, most elderly people would pay more for their health care than they would pay under the current Medicare system. CBO said by 2030, those on Medicare would pay more than twice as high a share of the cost of their medical care than do beneficiaries in the current system. Good job! Good job, Budget Munster.
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
God, I love this story in the LA Times. Gingrich hits bumps in presidential campaign.
Frankly.
You think?
Bumps, frankly.
His first week was, of course, a doozy. In spite of those bumps, Jim, the former House Speaker called, there was nearly 100 people. There were tens of people to see him in Iowa this weekend.
Tens of people. Uh-huh.
He, at one point, apparently said, I think, frankly, this is going to be the happiest, most positive, most fun campaign of my lifetime.
Frankly.
No, not really.
Tell Evie I want my bling back.
Not really. I love one political science professor said he still has tremendous name recognition.
Yeah.
And that most people know who he is and think he's an ass.
So does Hitler.
Yeah. Exactly. Everybody knows him.
Everybody knows your name. Come back to the Cheers bar.
Oh, by the way, he had to moonwalk back from another... let's see. He had been skewered by members of his own party after disparaging Paul Ryan's plan. But then he... It looked like he was supporting a poll test. Remember those?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. He walked back his support for poll test Friday just a day after reiterating support for making young Americans pass an American history test in order to gain voting rights.
Let's see Sarah Palin do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Those
testing voters at the
pass.
Polls has a unique place, of course, in American Buckley. History, as it was one of the main tactics employed to prevent blacks from voting until the passage of the Civil Rights Bill.
Frankly, I'm walking it back.
Oh, boy, howdy. Take out your organ one more time, Chris. This is our second The Rapture Didn't Happen story. While cutting social services, Kentucky gives $43 million tax break to Bible-themed amusement park. Oh, boy.
God.
A group of private investors and religious organizations hoping to build a Bible-themed amusement park in Kentucky, complete with a full 500-foot by 75-foot reproduction of Noah's Ark. It's going to be Ark Park. Seriously.
Ark Park.
Tower of Babel.
Gila Fleur are going to be there?
Gila Fleur. And other biblical exhibits on an 800-acre campus. Their effort got a shot in the arm yesterday. The state approved $43 million in tax breaks, plus taxpayers are going to have to pony up another $11 million to improve a highway interchange near the site.
What if the Ark Park gets hit by tornado? Is that going to be God's will? Or is that just going to be weather?
Yeah, besides separation of church and state, they've cut education, Medicaid, everything. But they got to have an Ark Park. Ark Park.
Wow.
And the Tower of Babel, where everybody goes blah, 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 blah.
Which is
blah,
right-wing blah, radio.
Blah, blah. All right. Babel.
That's it for Mondays with McClurg. We will see you tomorrow with Aisha Tyler and Jake Tapper from ABC News. See you then on the Stephanie Miller Show.